Good morning and welcome to Romford Baptist Church online this morning. It's good to have you with us and greetings to wherever you are in the world listening to this service. We have got a service this morning where we are thinking about the theme of restoring wounds and how we can come to God and find help and healing. The psalmist says these words, "Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the numbers of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but cast the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp." Our first hymn this morning is that great hymn of praise. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our songs shall rise to thee. Let us pray together. Lord God, you are holy. You are majestic. And Lord, we come to you in our homes to worship you this morning. We thank you for your sustaining power. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who builds us up and you the one who heals our brokenness. You, Lord, are the one who binds up our wounds and also forgives us our sins. And you are a holy and a mighty God. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we recognize you as a sovereign, all-powerful God. We recognize you, Lord, as a God who cares immensely for your people. You're an all-loving God. And Lord, into this time of worship, we come as your people to celebrate your goodness, to celebrate your love. And so, Lord, we pray, in this time of worship, we will praise your name, not just in words, but from our hearts. We will worship you with our whole mind, body, soul, and spirit. We will recognize you, Lord, as the number one and the all-powerful. Lord, that we, along with the whole of creation, with everything that has breath, will praise your name. Amen. Let's sing that song. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Continue to praise God together. We say together that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Another song. King of Kings, praise the Father. Praise God indeed. Hopefully you have received the notice sheet. And if you don't receive the notice sheet and you want to, please would you contact the church office and the contact details will come up at points in this service. But you can contact them either by phone using the church phone number or by the office email address, which is office@romfordbaptist.org.uk. If you've started joining us since we have been broadcasting these services only online, not gathered together, and you want to get in touch with us, again, use those same contact information, or the ones that come up in a while when we talk about the challenge, and we will get in touch with you and hopefully get to know you. It will be great to know people who are worshipping with us Sunday by Sunday. I didn't say at the beginning of the service, my name's Ian, I'm one of the ministers here, and I will be leading this service, and the preacher this morning is Vicky, another of the ministers here. This week we have our evening service at 6 p.m. tonight, and then the youth are meeting online as well. Following that, or that's also this evening, is the parenting course, which Hannah and Richard are leading together. Tuesday evening, Journeys are meeting via Skype, and the details are on the notice sheet, and we have our Tuesday evening prayer meeting on Zoom. Wednesday, we have our meeting place, virtual meeting place at 10:30 in the morning on Zoom, and then our prayer course, week 6, at 7:30, again meeting on Zoom. On the notice sheet are also the information regarding the children's and youth activities, including the quiz night that will happen on Wednesday, and the various other streams, including the youth stream that follows this service at 12:30. We will be finished a while before then, but you know what I mean. The church's helpline is open each day this week, as the building is in the mornings, for you to drop off using the side door for food banks. On the notice sheet is also the information for the giving to the church, both through BACS and you can give through the website. And can we encourage you to continue doing that to enable the church to continue functioning now and making all the arrangements we need to make as we come out of lockdown, which is going to be quite a cost involved there. Let's give thanks to God for our gifts. Lord, we thank you for all the gifts that you have given to us. And Lord, we want to praise you that you have sustained us and you do care for us. Yet you have called us also to be salt and light to the world. And Lord, we pray that our gifts, our resources will be used by you to make a difference to your world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this point in our service, I need to give you a tissue warning. You might need a tissue as you watch the results of this week's challenge. It has been thrilling, and a big, big thank you to all who took time to send in messages, recordings, videos, greeting the church at this time of lockdown. And it's been great to have them all come in, and we have tried to put them together in a way that hopefully you will enjoy this week's lockdown challenge, which was greeting the church. Enjoy it.
Hi, everyone. We just wanted to say how much we're missing meeting with you all. We pray that we'll be able to get together again soon. In the meantime, stay safe. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Let's greet somebody in Jesus' name. Let's tell them that we love them in Jesus' name. Everybody smile. Jesus loves them.
For everybody at RBC, and thank you all for all the lovely cards I've received over the last few weeks. Love, Sheila.
Hi, RBC. Thank you for the wonderful opportunity to worship with you during lockdown and for my birthday wishes, which made me feel special last Sunday.
Savine family. I just wanted to say a big hello to all the meeting place volunteers and all our lovely customers. Hope you're all keeping well and we'll see you soon. Bye!
Hi everyone, I just wanted to say hi on this lovely sunny morning. Just take care and keep safe and hope to see everyone soon. Bye!
I miss you, goodbye! I miss you, goodbye!
Good
morning, everybody. It's lovely to have this opportunity to say hello. Hope everybody is coping well at this time and finding plenty to do to keep yourselves occupied. Keep well, keep safe, and looking forward to the day when we can all meet up again at RBC. God bless.
Hello everyone. I've given myself a new hairdo for lockdown. Sending lots of love, take care, and keep safe. Bye.
Hi RBC, I miss you all, and I look forward to the day we can worship together again. Bye for now, God bless.
Go.
Hi everyone, this is Tracy. I hope you're all keeping very safe, and I miss you all so much. Love you, and hope to see you soon. Bye.
Good morning, Romford Baptist Church. This is Priscilla and Rodney Eborn. You are all very much in our thoughts and prayers at this time. We will meet again.
Good morning, Church. I hope you're all keeping well. Looking forward to seeing you all soon. Take care. God bless. Susan Murray.
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when. But I know we'll meet again some Sunday morning.
This is the Magic Kingdom family. I'm JJ.
I'm Samuel.
I'm Caroline.
We really miss you. We pray that very soon we'll be able to meet together again. Keep safe. God bless. And much love.
Just saying hello. Hope to see you soon.
Morning.
We miss you all so much.
It's really lovely when we can all be back together, but we can continue to pray for one another.
Hi, missing you all, missing my hugs, exercising lots.
Hi everybody, I'm really missing you lots and lots, but I'm enjoying seeing your faces on the challenges every week. Bye.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you forevermore. Amen.
Hello, everybody.
Missing you all.
Looking forward to when we can all meet together again. Hope it won't be too long.
And until then, we're praying for you. Keep safe.
Bye. Bye.
Missing you lots. I'm okay. Love to everyone. God bless. Iris.
Hi, RBC. Missing everyone like crazy, but I'm really thankful and proud of the way that everyone is looking out for each other during this time. Please take care. Bye.
Hello, everyone at RBC. God bless you all.
And keep safe. Bye.
Hello, greetings to everyone from the people who talk tonight. Lovely to see you together, all of you. Bye.
I miss you, Ivy. I miss you, Ivy.
I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together, all who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we are together. Thank God for online church. I love you all. Bye.
Praise the Lord, Church. Greetings to all the brethren. Thank you for your labor of love. Thank you for your prayers and support. We hope you're all doing well. Till we meet again, God bless.
Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you. Or is it lovely to see me? But anyway, nice to see you visualising, virtual visualising. We're doing very well in here, looked after well. I WhatsApped my grandchildren. I miss them greatly, but I know they're kept safe like we are here. And I've got a lovely friend I sit next to, and we have a laugh together. Nice food, and I'm putting on weight, unfortunately. But anyway, I look forward to seeing you when all this horrible thing is over. God bless everyone, and take care. Look after yourselves. Lots of love, Francis. Bye-bye.
Hello from Plymouth. We hope you're all doing well.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're all well. The Feinstons are well. Keep safe. Bye.
To everyone at Romford Baptist Church, I want to say a big hello to everyone. We're okay. Hope you are too. See you soon. Bye.
To my dear friends at RBC, greetings from John at Collier Row.
Hi.
Hi everyone, we're missing you all.
Hi everyone, we're missing you all. We hope to see you again soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye, bye.
Bye, 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 bye.
Good morning, Romford Baptist Church. Greetings from Salisbury. It's lovely to join you in the lockdown. Keep well, keep safe.
Hello everyone. Greetings from Ken and Pauline.
We miss you all and look forward to the day when we can worship in person together.
Until then, we pray that God will be with you and keep you safe.
So it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Isaiah in chapter 53, and Alison's going to read that.
Good morning, Church. Our reading this morning is Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 to 6. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Thank you, Alison, for the reading. We come to God in prayer. Let us pray together. And during our prayers of intercession, we're going to pray for folk in the church, for Parkside, and for the world. Maggie, who many of you will know with her son, is today moving to Oldham for her husband's work, and she asks that the church pray for her. So let us pray. Lord, in a world where there are hundreds of thousands of needs, we're mindful of our needs and the needs of those we love. And Lord, we thank you as a God, you care for each one of our needs. And you long to hear of the thoughts of our hearts. And to you, Lord, we bring them today. We thank you, Lord, that as we have prayed in the past, you have answered. And we want to praise you that Anne had a successful procedure last Monday. And Lord, we pray that you'll continue to heal and strengthen her and Keith at this time. We thank you, Lord, for that prayer that you answered. We thank you, Lord, that you have sustained the folk in this church. And Lord, we continue to praise and thank you for the healing we have seen in Arthur from the coronavirus. And Lord, we pray protection over every household of the fellowship of Romford Baptist Church. Lord, as we pray for protection over the households of the church, we pray for your continued protection over Parkside, the care home that the church has up the road. And we thank you, Lord, that to date it is corona-free. And Lord, we pray that that will continue. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to protect every resident and member of staff of the home. That, Lord, we will continue to be able to proclaim your goodness and celebrate your love for our home. Lord, we thank you that worship is still continuing inside the home. And we thank you, Lord, that the folk there are able to praise and worship you and are able to join us in this service. And we thank you, Lord, for each one of them. Lord, may your protection remain at the door and that home remain COVID-free. But Lord, we pray for those in need in our church. Particularly pray for Maggie and the family today as they move to Oldham. Lord, we pray that that will be a smooth move. And that, Lord, as her husband begins his new job this week, that you will protect them. Lord, we pray that Maggie will find a church that she's able to settle in. And that, Lord, you will continue to bless that family. We pray for those who need a touch from you at this moment. We continue to pray for Julie Delve, for Bill Romaine, for Lillian Wingate, for Brian Sharp, for Brian Ray, for Amy, Chris and baby Theo. Lord, we pray that you will continue to surround them and heal them and protect them. And Lord, we pray for all those in our community who are serving us and serve in this community. We pray for the council and those who work in the council who are looking to protect this community. We pray for the social workers and the health visitors. And Lord, we pray you will keep them safe. We pray for our hospital and all who work in it, Lord, that that hospital will become able to function again normally and COVID will not be the fear that we have had over the last few months. Bless all the staff, Lord. Bless those who make strategic decisions and keep all safe, we pray. And Lord, we continue to pray for families at this time, particularly those, Lord, who are not used to living quite so close together. And Lord, we pray for those who are suffering from stress and mental health issues at this time. That, Lord, you will come close to them and strengthen them. And Lord, for ourselves, we pray. We pray, Lord, that you will be sovereign in our homes and in our lives. And Lord, as many of us face the going back to work, that, Lord, you will keep us safe and you will help us to be wise. And Lord, we pray that as we become parts of working communities again, that, Lord, we will be people of hope, that we will speak the words of hope. We will speak the words of Jesus into our communities. We bring our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Before Vicky comes to bring God's word to us, we're going to have another song which talks about the fact we're no longer a slave to fear. The world surrounding us is full of fear and issues, but we don't need to be slaves to that fear, because we have a God who is greater. Amen. I'm no longer a slave.
Good morning. It's lovely to be and to join with you wherever you are. You've been really blessed this morning. You've not seen me in here in the building as I've been bouncing my way up and around this empty building. You've been wherever you are in your own homes. But do you know, wherever we are, God is with us. And as we've just been reminded, we are his children. Restoring wounds, our theme for today. I have a 5-inch, for those of you who don't know what inches are, that's about 12 to 13 centimetres. I have a 5-inch scar that runs down the inside of my arm. It happened, I believe, when I was around 8 to 10 years old, and I believe I was waiting to catch a coach to go on our Sunday school outing. Now, as with many 8 to 10-year-olds, we get very bored with waiting. And so many of us had kind of started balancing along a low wall, which had got people's coats and bags along it. And as we climbed and went across the wall, we were climbing over the coats and bags, and of course the inevitable happened. I fell off and I ended up with a really messy arm. And for the most part, I ignore it. And probably many of you aren't even aware that it's there. The same, however, can't be said for Simon Weston. Many of you who are my age or older will remember that Simon is a veteran of the British Army who is known for his charity work and recovery from severe burn injuries suffered during the Falklands War, when the ship that he was on, the Sir Galahad, was blown up and it was containing the ammunition and explosives that were being used during that offensive. Out of his platoon of 30 men, 22 were killed, and I believe there might be a photo on there now, and you will see that Weston now, his face is obviously suffered as a result of that. He suffered 46% burns, and his face was barely recognisable. He said, "My first encounter with a really low point was when I was being wheeled down the corridor at RAF Lynham. I could see my mum and my gran in the corridor, and as I was wheeled past, I heard my mum saying to my gran, 'Oh, ma'am, look at that poor boy.' And I said to her, 'Ma'am, it's me, it's Simon.' And as she recognised my face, as she recognised my voice, her face turned to stone. Wounds, whether they are hidden or obvious, whether they are physical or emotional, spiritual or mental, whether they are recent or like my arm a long time in the past, whether healing has taken place or whether the wound is still healing, any damage, any hurt, any injury can leave a mark. It can leave us struggling. It can leave us finding it hard to move on." And the passage from Isaiah talks firstly about the wounds of Jesus. As we look at the passage that was written about Jesus 700 years before he came to walk on this earth, he was talking about Jesus in a way that no doubt could have reflected the sentiments of Simon's mother all those years ago. In verses 2 to 3, it says, "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem." I don't know if you are like me, where we struggle sometimes to look at scars and physical injuries. Maybe when we're asked to look at something, we look almost anywhere rather than the point at which we're being asked to look. And yet, almost at the same time, there's that kind of morbid curiosity that we feel we need to look, even though we don't want to. When we read these words from Isaiah, these words that describe Jesus, we read there was nothing in his appearance that should attract us to him, that would mean that we would desire him. He's even someone that we would want to hide our faces away from. So then we think about Jesus in his resurrected form, meeting with his disciples, and Thomas saying to the disciples, because he wasn't there when Jesus appeared first time, "I won't believe until I see for myself those wounds, his hands and his side." And I wonder, did Thomas really want to see those wounds for himself? Or was it more about the fact that he doubted that Jesus really was alive? But we also know, as the story goes on in John's Gospel, that when he came face to face with Jesus, and when Jesus said to him, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hand there and put it in my side." Of course, Thomas's response wasn't to do that. It was just to declare that he did indeed believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. As we look at the passage in Isaiah, we know full well. As we look at other parts of our Bible, we know full well that Jesus didn't deserve to suffer the wounds that he experienced. He had done nothing to deserve such an awful death. And as we read this passage from Isaiah, we know that when Jesus was pierced for our rebellion, for our sins, for our life choices, for the way we choose to behave, we are like the sheep that went astray. It says that in verse 6. But Jesus knew that the only way we could have that relationship with God restored was through his death. The death that we remembered and have recently celebrated at Easter. And so, as it says in verse 4, he took up our pain. He bore our suffering, not because he deserved to be punished and stricken and beaten, but because of his love for us. So firstly, the wounds of Jesus. Secondly, the wounds that we bear. I have a book on my office here at church by Harold S. Kushner, and it's called When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Yeah, get it the right way around. When Bad Things Happen to Good People. And if we're honest, that's actually a question that many of us will ask. Either when something terrible is happening to ourselves or when we hear about it happening to someone else. Maybe if we or they are at the receiving end of things going wrong, maybe when we hear about a marriage breakup or people dying from illness or cancer or COVID-19, maybe when we hear of children being killed in car accidents or loved ones suddenly being taken through death, or when jobs are lost or whatever it is on those lists of events that happen in our life. And we know that life isn't fair. And yet, when we hear of those things, or when those things are happening to us, so often what do? We blame God. We say there is no God, or we say, "Why did God let that happen?" And I can't stand here today and say, "He just did," because that feels too painful. There is a fact that Christians and non-Christians sometimes seem to suffer more than others. I don't know why some of us face difficulty or pain or illness or whatever it may be. Why some of us seem to be facing life with uncertainty or affliction or that kind of pressure that kind of makes us struggle to get through each day. But the truth is that many of us are. And many of us do find life difficult. But what I do know, and what I need you to hear today, is that God is with us in the midst of all of that. We've been doing the prayer course, and we've just done this week's session, on unanswered prayer, a really difficult topic, isn't it, really? Because how many of us have cried out to God, "God, help me. God, stop this from happening. God, help me. Make this go away."
Excuse me. And in the session on Wednesday night, we learnt that God doesn't airlift us out of that situation, but rather he parachutes in and is with us in that situation. And no, God doesn't always answer our prayers. And sometimes we have to wait for our prayers to be answered. But here in this passage from Isaiah, we can see that Jesus, that God knows exactly what it feels like to suffer from that pain and that anguish, to suffer from the hurt and the rejection, to suffer from all those myriad of emotions that many of us can identify with. Maybe not every day, but certainly maybe more at this moment in time than we have done in the past. And yet, like us, when we say, well, Christians, we shouldn't have this happen to us, but it does, there was no reason at all for Jesus to deserve those wounds and that rejection and that pain and that anguish. And yet he did. And he knows what it's like. And he's with us in the midst of it. So no, being a Christian doesn't stop bad things from happening to us. But we look at passages again and again in our scripture and we realize that God is there with us. Psalm 34 says, "The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles." And it goes on in verse 18, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And in those two verses we see, yes, sometimes God does deliver the righteous from trouble. But at other times, as it says in verse 18, he is with us. He is with us as the brokenhearted and those who are crushed in spirit. He is with us there in that time. And so as we make our way through our lives, we need to continue to grow and to trust God that he is there and that we can develop and keep strong in our faith and our relationship with him during it. But sadly, so often, it's at those times of struggle that we struggle ourselves to persevere in our faith. In his book, Kushner uses the illustration of measuring the height of a child on a wall as they grow. I'm sure actually many of us might say those words when we once again see our nephews, our nieces, our children or our grandchildren. We'll say, "Wow, haven't you grown?" And often we will mark the height of our children as they grow up on a wall and maybe on their birthdays or at the start of their academic year. And Kushner is asking in his book, do you keep growing? But of course he's not talking about our physical growth in that sense. He's asking what it is that's stopping us grow. Or are we still growing in our spiritual walk with God, in our maturity in God, in our understanding of our faith, how we can remain strong even when things are difficult? It's true. Sometimes we do fail to grow. Sometimes we fail to grow because we give up too easily. Sometimes we fail to grow because we turn away from God when things are painful or we suffer from hurt. And maybe that's partly because our faith and our knowledge of God isn't based in what we can learn here from Scripture or in our own personal walk with God. But we somehow have gone along in our journey with Christ because we've been supported by listening to how others know that God is with them. Or we've listened to what people have done in the past and we've been inspired by that, but we haven't known it for ourselves. Or we rely when things go wrong for others to pray for us because we don't feel that we can pray for ourselves. Maybe because our faith and our journey with God is still quite new. We haven't been discipled. We haven't grown in our faith. And so we've not grounded ourselves in studying his word, in sharing with one another in small groups or in the discipleship and in growing in our faith. And then because of that, because we've not grown and we've stayed quite young, we end up listening to the wrong voices. And in a sense, I mean, allowing those doubts and those fears to be the louder voice that we listen to, the thing that plays on our mind. We doubt whether God really does love us. We doubt whether he really did forgive us. We doubt whether the past and our scars and our wounds and the way that we've lived means that God doesn't love us for who we are now. And as a result, what happens is that we end up using and listening to those doubts and those fears and the past, the experiences that we've had in the past that have left us wounded and left us scarred. And what do? We start picking the scar and we reopen those wounds. And that's not God doing that for us. It's us not being strong in our faith with God, not being strong in our walk with God. I know there is nothing more irritating than a physical wound that's close to kind of getting to that healing stage and it becomes really, really itchy. And what do? Well, we want it to heal quicker and so we begin to scratch. And of course, what do? We open those wounds again and it takes longer. Or there's that moment when the scar is getting really rough and it's nearly ready to fall off. And so what do? We start picking it in an attempt to get rid of the scar. And we reopen that wound again. And that, of course, in one sense is easier, in one sense, to see and to be reminded of when the scar is physical. But when that scar is emotional and mental and spiritual, and those things from what we've done or what we've experienced in our past is what's stopping us going forward, we find it hard to stop reopening the wounds of our past. GD reminded us last week, when he was talking about restoration from our past, that God can always turn things round. But it's down to us to leave our past behind and to forgive ourselves and others in order to move on. And that is just as true for the wounds and the emotions and all that's happened to us in our past that's left us feeling vulnerable, feeling hurt, feeling that we really aren't a child of God because he can't possibly love us for what we've done. So thirdly, holding fast to our faith in pain. In another book on my shelves by Charles R. Swindoll, it's called Three Steps Forward and Two Steps Back. He talks about how a man has been torn apart by grief. And someone came and talked to him and spoke to this grieving man about all the things that God had done for him. He spent a lot of time talking about God, about hope beyond the pain. He taught constantly. He said things that the grieving man knew were to be true, but all the grieving man felt was, please, will you just go away? He was unmoved by all those things that he had heard. He went on to talk about another man who came and sat beside this grieving man. This second man didn't talk. He didn't ask questions. He didn't pry. He just sat beside the grieving man, not moving. When the grieving man spoke, the man listened and he answered briefly. He finally prayed and then he left. And the man who was torn apart by grief had been moved and comforted by his presence. And he didn't want to see that man leave. And as I read that illustration, I was reminded of the book of Job, the book that many of us know. When all those tragedies fell upon Job that we can read at the beginning of the book, when he'd lost everything that was dear to him, what happened? Well, firstly, his wife turned on him, and then secondly, his friends came to comfort him. In Job 2, it says, when Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. And then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. And no one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. If we know anything about the book of Job, we know it didn't stop there at the end of that seven-day period. Because when at the end of that seven-day period, Job cried out, why is God doing this to me? A cry that so many of us can identify with. His friends got so bogged down in talking about God, in how Job must have done something awful to have allowed such a thing to happen. They were trying so hard through their talking and through their reasoning that actually they ended up making matters worse. And so Job too starts firing off at God, crying out to him out of his pain and his anger and his misery until finally, if we know the book now well, we know finally he stopped and he listened to what God was saying. And instead of demanding, he repented of his actions. If any of us have ever sat with someone who is hurting, we know our instinct so often is to try and make things better, to try and rationalize, to try and put our understanding on it. And actually, what we sometimes need to do is to sit in silence, sit and comfort, sit in prayer. And maybe, yes, we have cried out, why is God doing this to me? But it's not that we necessarily need an answer. We just need to be heard. We just need to voice our hurt and our pain. We just need that comfort and to be reminded that we're not alone and that God hasn't left us and that he doesn't love us any the less. And yes, there are times too when we do need to challenge and to refute and to combat that which is being said. But to start with, so often, we need to come alongside. Because fourthly, and I'm sorry for all those who thought I'd only got 3 points. Fourthly, restoration from wounds. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and to live to righteousness, for by his wounds we were healed." However we have been wounded in the past, whether it's in a small way, like my arm that's been left with a scar, whether it was like Simon Weston, who'd had to endure years of reconstructive surgery, 96 operations, surgical procedures, and that was before he could even leave hospital. Or whether it's the wounds that we carry of loss or rejection or betraying, whether it's an undermining of our self-confidence, of uncertainty, of fear of the lifestyle that we once lived, whether it's of habits that we're still trying to overcome or habits that we've overcome from before, we must not allow those negative and painful reminders and effects impact us on our lives today. Because if we have come to God, if we have asked for forgiveness, as it says in Isaiah and as it says here in 1 Peter 2, he bore our sins in his body on the cross, for by his wounds we were healed. We have been healed. We need to learn to stop picking off that scab again and allow the fullness of God's healing to take place. And whether that scab is physical or mental or whatever form it comes in because of the way that we have lived our lives or the way that others have treated us in the past, and those wounds are those of, as I say, rejection or loss or betrayal, we need to stop reopening those wounds, because that is not what God wants for us. When God forgives us, he completely forgives us. He leaves us in peace and completeness and in wholeness. If we continue to condemn ourselves, that's not God, that's us doing that to ourselves. Because we are unable to move on. We are unable to leave our wounds alone. We haven't grown spiritually as that child, and we were reminded of the child growing. Sometimes as children grow, they grow in leaps and bounds. And other times the growth is not as high, not as noticeable. And that is true for us in our spiritual journey too. But if we don't fully understand what God's transforming power and forgiveness can do for us, then we need to go back and remind ourselves of what we see in the scripture. Because when God heals, he completely heals. When God forgives, he completely forgives. He doesn't just do part of the job. Jeremiah 17, verse 14 says, "Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise." So there's that sense there, as we are healed, we can praise God. As we live in praising and thanking God, we are not living with the wounds of our past, but we know that we've been forgiven and that God loves us. That's what it says in verse 5 of the second part of verse 5 of the Isaiah passage. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Not, as I say, partly healed, but completely and wholly healed. So where does that leave us today? Wherever we may be listening to this, do we feel restored and healed and whole? Do we feel peaceful because we know that God has forgiven us and enabled us to move on from the wounds of our past? And if we don't, why do we keep reopening those wounds? Because that's not what God wants for us. And yet, I also know that it's not always easy. As I said, going back to the image of the child against the wall, sometimes our growth and our spiritual growth and our spiritual maturity takes time. Sometimes we falter and struggle. But if we can continue to study, if we can continue in our daily relationship with God, if we continue in our prayer life, if we continue as we get discipled and as we grow, then we will really fully understand that when God forgives us, he forgives us and restores us and heals us from the wounds of our past, whatever those wounds may be, because he does it completely. We are God's children. He doesn't want us to be restricted as small, young, relatively newborn Christians. He wants us to grow into being the people that he has made us to be, that he wants us to be. He wants us to grow into the potential and the future that he has for us. And in order to allow that to happen, we have to accept that we have been fully restored from the wounds of our past. And so wherever we are in our faith journey today, we are going to have the opportunity, as we listen to a song in a moment, whether we sing or we just allow it to minister to us. If we'd been here in church, we would have listened to it and just allowed it. And wherever we were, just to allow it to wash over us or to join in. And that is true for us at home today. Because whether we are broken or weary, whether we need a fresh touch from him today, or whether we need to be reminded of his complete restoration, I come back to that verse from Jeremiah. Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are the one I praise. God has the opportunity, if we let him, to allow him once again to, well, he doesn't need to come once again. We need to be reminded that he has healed us completely. He has restored us from the wounds of our past. And our response should be to praise him and to continue to grow in our faith with him. And so wherever you are today, allow this song and the words of this song to minister to him. Because out of our healing and out of that confidence that our past has gone, our wounds have been healed, we have been restored because of Jesus' death on the cross, we can praise God. Let's listen to the song, Hungry I Come to You. Let us pray. And so we have waited, and we've offered ourselves to him once again. And so we can praise God because, as it said in 1 Peter, because Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross. And because of his wounds, we are indeed healed. And so we pray this morning that we will have that affirmation and that certainty for ourselves. So as we go on from this morning's service, we can indeed praise you and acknowledge you and proclaim you as the whole healer. That our past wounds are behind us. Those past hurts that we've suffered have been forgotten and restored, and completeness has been given and peace is upon us because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And for that we do indeed thank you. Amen. And so we sing our last song together this morning. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Thank you for being with us in this morning's service. And
As I finish with the closing prayer, we don't forget that if you want to watch the video again, it will be following that closing prayer. I look forward to seeing you again at 6 o'clock this evening. I haven't done this yet this morning. It's lovely to know so many of you enjoy and make you smile as it makes me smile when I wave, and to know that you are waving too. But we finish our time together now, knowing that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with us wherever we are, in whichever country and home and destination we may be. He's with us forevermore. Amen.